Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين.
الحمد لله الحمد لله. How are my brothers and sisters? Assalamu alaikum. It's your brother Khalid Abdullah Islam, and you're on a conversation with a purpose on station IWDM. And with my brothers, my co-host is joining. Hopefully, I'll put you a call in a little bit later. And we do expect Imam Muhammad Sadiq to be with us tonight. And we'll talk about that petition. And we're going to talk about a lot of things, inshallah. I hope we have a good presentation for you. And we want you to know that since it is a conversation with a purpose, our number one goal is to make a connection with you and have a very peaceful and very excited and just a good environment for us to have a conversation, open up those lines of communication and make progress that way. So, alhamdulillah, you know, since it's the new year, we talked a little bit about how people they make promises to themselves to improve themselves in different ways, be more helpful to the family, be more helpful to the community, or even to themselves, lose weight. One thing, you know, read a book, go on a trip you always wanted to go on. You know, you plan to have a better life. Well, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wants us to have a good life, and the Bible says you want to have a life abundantly, as the Prophet Yeshua is saying. So, and we do. We want to have a good community. And I got a statement from Imam Dodi Muhammad, and I got it from the counter made by the Famco company, a fantastic company headed by Muqtar Muhammad. And the email says, our goal is to building a better community, better businesses, a better appreciation for our life, and building on the greatness of our history. That's the work that must continue. And I wholeheartedly agree. And here, you know, we got my brother, Octavia, who I'm bringing one in. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, indeed. Assalamu alaikum.
How's it going?
Alhamdulillah, Khalid, I'm rather to complain, I'll be an ingrate. And Allah says in Quran, Allah loves those who serve Him with gratitude.
Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Well, how are you, Khalid?
We're just easing into the subject of the matter. I was talking about how you spoke a little bit about New Year's coming around, you know. Here in America, we have a tradition of, I guess, other places too, but have a, I keep on forgetting the real word about it, but we strive to promise to do better in the future, lose weight, take care of family, you know, build a porch on a house or something like that, you know, but everyone, I was saying, I hope you heard me, about building a better community. That was a statement from my mom, better businesses, a better appreciation for our life, and building on the greatness of our history. That's the work that must continue. So we got work ahead of us, you know?
Exactly, that's right.
So, did you ever see that there's a TV show, Billy, and it's called The Scholar's Chair. I posted last week on Yahoo group and on the Bing social network. Did you happen to see that particular?
No, I don't think I saw program. That, Khalid.
It was a fantastic. I got to promote this. It was a Christian brother. The book. And the name of the book, hold on, I want to get exactly right, because I recommend everybody buying this.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out, well, that's my word. The name of the book was The Black Clergy's Misguided Worship and Leadership. I put it there. The Black Clergy's Misguided Worship Leadership. And you can see it's about $9, $10, something like that. But it contains lessons that we've been taught a long time ago, you know, about how not to worship a Caucasian image or idol, you know. And
exactly.
He's making this call, he made a powerful call about how the black supremacist ideology hurt us greatly, you know, and how it just knocks us off the path of natural growth and alhamdulillah. But, you know, it makes it didn't happen unless Allah spent to Allah. Let it go, you know, make it happen. So we know that and how we're in a difficult test, and, you know, really making things good for our community, African-American people, and other people too. But, you know, we have a job to do in terms of all this terrible, violence, drugs, misliving, and
exactly.
But he was basing back to how people, if you accept a white image, you put yourself in second class automatically, you know.
Either way, and you're beating yourself into inferiority.
Yeah, and I definitely encourage everyone to join us on either on the Yahoo group. It's called We Are With Imam W.D. Mahan, or the Facebook group is called We Are With W.D. Muhammad, Imam W.D. Mahan, or on the social network that we always know, that www.wearewiththeimam.men.com. That's where you'll find that particular video of this TV show. And it was run by a Muslim named Khalil Shakur, I think. And he had another book on. So it was three African Americans discussing this problem that's been inserted. And they talk about how subliminally seduction on that. In the first time I heard the word subliminal seduction from Imam Muhammad. But they spoke about that. And yeah, I said, man, they were talking our language, you know? So,
exactly.
And so I call it real TV. Real TV, really. Give something to your mind, you know, to think about, to work on. And, you know, it's not like these other, you know, cartoon entertainments that are designed to, you know, break up your peace. And, you know, later on, you know, it's so subliminally. Yeah, they were in trouble. But it was great. It was really, really fantastic program. And I can't say enough about it. But, we put a link on Facebook, put a link under my name, Khalid Abdul Islam. It's on the Facebook group page, I believe. And those two other sources just mentioned, so alhamdulillah. And if you have our announcement, you should see those websites that I'm talking about. So go right there and check out that particular. So, matter of fact, I remember Imam Muhammad had told us at one time. He caught himself, as this is my expression, he caught himself with his head down, thinking that he was, you know, a little behind the white people. And he said, and he spanked himself. He said, hey, Wallace, you're not like that. You know, get up. And he asked the question, you should, no matter how much you're doing good in terms of academically, or how you're doing materially, no matter, it doesn't matter. So you got to think, how much this white supremacy has blocked you or stopped you or have you feeling bad in your genes, you know? How has it affected you? You know, ask yourself that. So that's another examination of self you must do, you should do, and know, to check yourself, you know.
There you go, exactly.
Now, I was trying to tell people how really wonderful you are in terms of producing material by V-Man on Facebook. I'm very serious, you know. And I've noticed other people have taken your post and shared it with other people, you know. It's a wonderful thing.
Alhamdulillah. I just thank Allah for the resources and the ability to do it. And thank Allah, you know, because I always remember what Imam Muhammad said. He said, I've been teaching you all for years, and most of you have not retained one-tenth of what I taught. So keeping that in mind, I said, you know what? Imam Muhammad is not here to feed us anymore, but he fed us enough that we can just review, you know, and just, because I mean, I'm looking at it, and the material I'm posting, Khalid, and it's like I never saw it before. And I know the coupons, because a lot of these are coupons that he did that were printed. And I'm saying to myself, was I there? You know, because he gave us.
You know what I'm saying?
Like when you heard circumcision of the mind, you had to hear that at least 10 times. You can't take all that in one. Kidding? You think I could take that in one sitting? No way. It was too much. Pharaoh in Egypt, Jane Jacob the Metaphysics, Yaku's History, the Demon Killer. I mean, these are some powerful, powerful coupons the Imam gave. And I mean, it was a lot. And especially for the small minds that are coming out of the black man as God and every Caucasian is the devil by nature coming out of that. That was our Kalima. You know that, right? We didn't have La ilaha illallah. The Kalima was the black man is God.
Right.
Our Zakat was the number two poor. Fasting was in the month of December. Our Hajj was the Chicago Savior's Day. So I'm coming out of that mindset, and this man's dropping all these bombs. So the reality is, Khalid, most of us did not retain much of what the Imam gave us. So that's why it's an opportune time now for us to go back over those teachings, you know, and refresh them in our minds, you know. And now that we have grown, we have a better appreciation for what he gave us.
Sure.
Because the reality is, Khalid, I'm going to keep it real. He was given steak to a lot of people who could only handle milk. And the Bible says clearly, those with wisdom, they get meat, but the babies, they have to have milk. You can't give a baby T-bone. He don't have to deal with it.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, like I said, the few that could get it, but many of us, like I said, could not handle the steak. So now that we've grown, we've been in the Quran now, we've been fasting. Some of us have been on Hajj to Mecca. Our minds have been so much grown being exposed to Imam Muhammad's lectures and his commentaries and his tasfiyah that now we could go back over those teachings now and comprehend them even better.
That's right. That's right. And move on, you know. Alhamdulillah.
Apply
the lesson. Yeah. And I was one of the things that I've seen on Facebook, on the internet, when we talk to each other, you know, sometimes we talk to each other like some person doesn't know, you know. They haven't really learned Islam, but they're trying to trust somebody who knows, you know. And somebody who knows tries to correct a person, and the ego gets in the way. I used to be a warrior, man. Forum wars. Get on the forum and be fighting each other.
I told you, you'll wear yourself out, man. But I told you that. I said, brother, there's some people, no matter what you do to show them the light, Allah says in the Quran, and he makes it clear to us, we have to get a, because that's the same thing happened with Prophet Muhammad, too. It's human. What you was going through. That's a human trait, especially when you sincerely want somebody to get understanding. But Allah says, how can they see when they refuse to see?
Right.
And Allah also said to Prophet Muhammad also, because it also disturbed the heart of the Prophet so much that his people could not see this elevated, highly moral, highly dignified light that he was trying to bring them into. It made him fret a lot. He used to get, like, you know, kind of despondent about it. And Allah revealed to him to console him. He said, O messenger of Allah, do not fret over them. It's not you that they hate. It's the truth that they hate. See, some people just don't like the truth. They don't want to hear it. They just can't accept it. So no matter what you do, they're not going to submit. That's just the reality, you know. But what you did is a human trait. It's natural. You want somebody to say, why can't he see? It's just like if you're studying with your child, Khalid, and they got a math problem. Now, you can see how to solve this math problem. For the life of them, they cannot see it. You say, well, it's right, the answer's right here. Let me do it again. You did it at least 10 times. They still didn't get it. But eventually, it will come. That's just how it is with
you. It also reminds me of the signs all around, but most people are heedless of the sign, you know. You can't see. So, you know, and again, I got some good news, too, and I want to get out before I forget about. We've been talking about Najee Ali out of L.A., kicking up a storm out there by beating up an old pioneer. And then we got a report from our brother Ronald Foster Sharif. So he talked to Ali, and he didn't do nothing, right? But my source in L.A. told me that Ali approached that brother, elderly brother again, and he made peace with him. So there's a hiding crime that says, you know, if your opponent or your enemy, you know, drops his sword, you know, or lowers his, you know, just one piece you're supposed to accept. You should accept it too. I read about that, but I'm trying to bring a balance to it because I want peace, you know. I don't want to be never on this brother, really, you know, too much. But I will, you know, if it calls for it.
Yes, sir.
We do want to say we're happy that some of the situations have been resolved and hand in hand again. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
As we spoke to this person, you know. But Ali should know that you never, never put your hands on elders or anybody who speaks his mind up. And that's the question. That's after lunch, you know?
Exactly.
So, you know, we're not going to roll over, but we want to have a clear understanding that there's proper decorum and behavior. Respect that rally, respect that everybody, you know. And this one was that. So, I'm happy to hear that. And we want now to go on bigger problems, you know, bigger situations like that. The board, you know, the bylaws and all that. You know, get organized out there and get productive out there. You know, no business.
Uh-huh.
That's a thing, you know. And you can go to a restaurant or something, you know, some cultural hall, somewhere we go, you know, school too, you know, because we got a lot of things to do. And I was so surprised. Now, I'll make a comparison between L.A., great big city, right, and Atlanta. In Atlanta, they just had I'm thinking so much, I can't think of the right word I want to use. But they again approved the email. But they're three ratification, that's what I'm saying. They had a ratification for the email. And they're going to have a ratification every 3 years, you know. Four is good for me, but they said three, because so they have a real close relationship with the imam, and they work and they cooperate together. They build some wonderful things down there.
Okay.
We can look to Atlanta to be a model for us, you know, to catch up, and we can do it. You got to have that faith, you have to have the cooperation, you have to have a plan, you know, you got to execute it right, you know, you got to and there's a backup for problems, and they do have a problem. I heard about for the school, one for school down here, and we always see year after year after year, they graduate, the high school graduation about 99.9 go to college and be very, very successful. in the environment. So alhamdulillah, you know, they always have something going, some type of program going, and you can catch the Jewels on a number of internet stations, you know, internet programs. Like UmaStream.tv, UmaStream.com, every Friday.
Yes, sir.
You know, because that's work with Tori Muhammad, so buddy. But so we're aware of these things, and sometimes these master communities, they just get stagnant, you know, and get stuck in a rut. They have these huge problems. And you live a good life, you hold up your principle, you behave yourself, but these problems won't be cropping up, you know? Cooperate with your brothers. So. So that, so again, we strive for a better life. Allah says he wants us to have a better life. He wants us to have a community life. So we always talk about a savage community. And we're not talking, you know, we apply ourselves. But there's other people, you know, like for instance, we got this petition out here. You know, anybody seen that petition? You know, there's some deep feelings. And it kind of reminds me of when the prophet started out. And it kind of reminds me of how our community started out, too. Because I heard stories about how the government took men to jail. And in the community, there were about 32 believers. And this one man was really small boy. And it was really light, you know, in terms of numbers. But it doesn't take them. So it's not a lot of things to say about that. But the prophet, it took them. As I understand, it's 13 years of him being in Mecca before he moved down to Medina.
Mm-hmm.
13 years, I think, when he moved down to Medina, the number of Muslims who moved with him or exiled with him is more of a force. Was 313. That's all. 313 people left with him after 13 years of preaching in Mecca, you know? With this petition, I think the last time I saw it was about 116 people who signed it, you know. So a lot of people, they don't know, they don't see the sign, they don't see the benefit in it, or don't feel the, in my mind, don't feel the, the benefit of it, the exercise of voting and being a part of the community and all that round up. So, and they have a fear too. That's really have a fear to sign it. Like somebody's putting a gun in their head, you know? Ain't no gun in your head. Why are you supposed to be free?
Exactly, that's right.
You're confident. You can make a choice, you know? That's what God made us do. He created us to do that, you know?
Exactly.
It's that plantation slavery. You know, as a
picture
person,
uh-huh.
A group of people, you know.
Exactly.
So I pray hard that we come clean, success for everybody, and you know, you put your best support. You know, and ask Allah to help you and guide you, protect you, and all that. You know, I can't go wrong. I don't know. You know.
Exactly.
You
gotta know your limitations.
Yeah.
No. And know that you can't go any further than Allah take you the rest of the way, you know.
That's right.
Because He promises you success. Because Allah wants for human being success. He doesn't want failure for a human being. If He wanted failure for the human being, He never would have mentioned prophets. He never would have mentioned prophets from Adam to Muhammad. All Allah had to do was just never send prophets and never have them come with a book, and this world would be in hellfire. Because all these prophets came. And the world is in hell now. Could you imagine what it would be like if they never came?
I'm telling you.
There's never a Torah. There's never an Injil. I tell you, Satan would be having a real party.
Yeah. That's all he does. He can't hurt you. He can invite, though, you know. And
that's
we accept the invitations. I don't understand it, you know. So I saw a little clip, too, on the internet. There's a guy named Alex Jones. He's a conservative radio jockey, you know. He's a real nut. And he talked to Piers, Piers Morgan. It's a late show on TV. And he had put out a petition for the United States to deport this guy Morgan, Piers Morgan, newsman, back to his hometown of England, London, England. That's pretty crazy. Just because, as a result of that, of the Connecticut massacre, you know, 22, he said something about we should restrict guns.
This guy went off,
man. I said, you're trying to scare Piers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody's seen him, but I just had him run across it. And he's saying that you piss them off, okay, buddy? People go back to 1776, it'll be real massacre here.
Wow.
All these exactly. Undercuts, you know, bases bragging, you know, and
Talking about selling tickets, selling more tickets, that's what you call it. But the theory is, he's pumping himself up and just let it out, man. He's an ugly devil, you know. But the key to this, our program that we're doing as a community. It's just to do what our leader demonstrated for us to do, and that is do the dawah.
Mm-hmm.
Just preach their message, you know. Just make sure the message about Islam is out there, because the problem in America is that people need a message of hope, you know, and they need a message of inspiration, and we have that. There's no better message of hope and inspiration than the Quran. We know that. Because
Quran
always comes to an environment that is bogged down in ignorance. I mean, when it came to Mecca at the time, it came to Saudi Arabia. They were savages.
Mm-hmm.
They had all kind of crazy superstitions about twin births and animals. And if a woman had twins, the man would think she had to cheat on me to have two babies at once. He'd kill the wife and the babies. I mean, all kind of madness.
Yeah.
And Al-Quran...
They're going back to it.
Look at us now, man. You look at the Maury show, you can see it's going back to the pagan days. How in the heck you got one woman up on the stage... Eight dudes, it could be the father. I mean, she slept with eight dudes for them to be tested. Come to find out, none of them are the father. And that's Maury's biggest show, man. Who's the daddy?
Oh, really?
I mean, that's savage. Can you imagine one woman being tested by eight men, and none of them are the father? Because now with DNA, you know, it's no guess. It's no more mama, baby, papa, maybe. You know now through DNA. If it's questionable.
Oh, man.
It should even get to that point. Because a man, he marries a woman, he knows if she have a child, it's his child. That's how it should be. But unfortunately, now the climate that we live in now was mama, baby, papa, maybe. But, you know, the human being can regress. Allah says in the Quran, you know, he created you to become, you know, the highest of the high. But if you regress and you don't acknowledge a God, if you don't acknowledge a creator, and you think you can do it on your own merit, Allah says in Quran, he can debase you to become the lowest of the low.
That's right. That's right. Huh. Yeah.
So all we can do at best is try and call him back from the fire, Khalid, because Allah says in Quran, O ye who believe, save yourself and your families from the fire.
Talking about Saudi Arabia, I read a story about a 7-year-old man who married a 15-year-old girl. Did you hear that one?
No, what state? What was it? Say in the States?
It was in the paper recently, the last 2 days.
I didn't see that.
And anyway, what happened is that, you know, they do dowry in big time and over there. And, it's in between how he might have brought the girl and paid the family, sold the girl, but it was some type of exchange of money. And
okay.
Right after exchange of money, the girl left him, went back to her family. He's crying about it, you know. So you got to know your religion, you know.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. You got to have principles that you live by. And like I said, the most finest and refinest principles you can follow are principles established by a creator. Because man can come up with his principles of life. Man tried that already. They came up with communism. Some nut came up with Nazism. There's always some nut coming up with their own principles of life. But they all failed. All of those isms, communism, Nazism, imperialism, colonialism, every ism failed because they spelled it wrong. Instead of ism, they needed Islam. They left out just one letter. Islam is the key, al-Islam, because this is the nature which Allah created everybody to be in, a state of al-Islam. Everybody, you know. Moses was in it. All the prophets were in that state. It's just human beings not following these great prophets that fall short of the mark. But that's the state of everybody to be in the state of al-Islam, you know, the state of peace, you know, and surrender yourself to become a natural, ordinary human being. That's why you go to these primitive jungles where they don't have no influences of the Jacobite and of Satan. You'll notice that the families, they don't get divorced. They don't have any crime. They don't have any jails. The children aren't on drugs. There's no divorce. I mean, people live in huts, and they don't have any locked huts because there's no lock on the hut. All their belongings are there. Nobody rob and steal from each other. And here it is. Now, we call them the primitive people. While we in these big cities, and most of us got to live in a county jail with bars on the window, 4 and 5 locks on the door. When I lived in the city, Khalid, people be going into their apartment, Khalid, it sounds like they're going into the county jail. You hear so many locks turning, Khalid. If somebody was chasing you, you dead. Because by the time you open the door, man, they got you. Because people got 3 and 4 locks on the door, Khalid.
Wow.
That's not normal. It's not like the county jail, like clack, clack, slap. They got the police block in the middle of the floor. Clack, bow. And besides, the county jail. So the good people are in jail while the criminals roam free. This thing is something wrong with it, man. I think they said already, I read a report today, Khalid, there's 87 homicides a day by guns in America. That's
wow.
A war.
Yeah.
How you got 87 people dying by handguns every day?
To break that report, break down the ethnic numbers. The Alex Jones quoted a statistic that 87 percent of gang related activities that is involved in these murders.
All of these great leaders we have, I mean, you can go back to Noble Drew Ali, Marcus Garvey, Frederick Douglass, bringing it up to modern times, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Dr. Martin Luther King, you know, Al-Hajj Malik Shabazz, down the way to the Imam W.D. Muhammad. And it looked like our people didn't hear any of that. I mean, like, you know, we're not even struggling, man, for excellence anymore. Imam Muhammad said, that's the problem. We have fallen into the culture and the mentality of just nasty. Everybody just want to be nasty. Nobody want to be decent. Decency has gone now. Everything is about, you know, just having a good time.
Right.
I remember Imam Muhammad, he put it beautifully one time. He said, nothing wrong with having fun. He said, that's the nature of the human being to have fun. Like, when you see little animals, like you see the little baby cubs, they always playing.
Right.
But you never see the adults. The little cubs, they fall into a hole, they can't get out. The bear got to come and get them out of the hole because they can't climb out. Because they always playing. Little kittens, you see them always playing. But the mama cat and the daddy cat, they just sitting there chilling out. Dogs, too. You see the little puppies always playing. Play is natural. It teaches you social skills. But you have to grow out of that. You just can't play 24 hours a day when you become an adult. You know, you just can't have fun all the time. Because Imam Muhammad said, that part of you that likes fun, that's called, Sigmund Freud called that the id. The part of you that like to have fun and like to have pleasure. But Imam Muhammad put it beautifully. He said, if you exercise that id, that part of you that like pleasure, that likes to have fun so much, it makes you an idiot.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening now. We got people becoming idiots. Because everybody just know one thing. It's all about having a good time. We got, especially among our community, there are those in our community that would rather have fun and go to a party, hang out, get high, rather than go look for a job. If there's a job interview, you'd have to wait if I can go to a party today. That's crazy. But that good time mentality, you know, like JJ, good times. That's all we want, just good times.
I don't like it. Well, it's you know, we always, again, it's a call for people to get out that path and get you hit, or you're headed for the fire, you know, so listen to the warning of, so that's the wrong way, my brother, that's the wrong way, my sister. You know, you
exactly.
And God gives us the tools, you know. But, you know, we're born, we don't know nothing, you know. But Allah gives us good parents, inshallah, and you know, learn the ability to read, and you're born to be good. You know, I remember that the band was called Naughty by Nature. You know, and these guys mm-hmm. get rough, but they're Naughty by Nature, they're hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
So you know. You're not at all. You know,
but see, if you convince a human being that he's a born sinner, he can come up with that concept of being naughty by nature. Because remember now, the world was tricked by Shaitan. That was one of the biggest tricks he did to convince people that they are weak and wicked, is by convincing them that it is your nature to be sinful. It is your nature to be corrupt. Because Adam sinned, and you have inherited the sins of your father Adam. Well, we don't believe in that in Al-Islam. We believe that Alan slipped, and when he heard a word from his Lord, he repented. That's what we're talking in the Quran. That Adam was always righteous, but he made a mistake because he was conned by the greatest conner of them all, Shaitan. But when he heard a word from his Lord, he straightened up. But when you tell the people that they are sinners by nature, and then on the same token, you tell them that don't worry about it because God's going to send one who's going to pay the price for the sins of the world. Then what sense is it for you to try to be righteous? You give up the sin because of the fact you believe that Adam was a sinner, so you have to be born to be a sinner. So your nature is a sin, but you're not going to worry about that sinful nature because I got somebody that paid the price for me already. I got somebody that died for my sins. So I'm free to do whatever I want to do. Now, that's not something that feeds the conscious mind. That's something that feeds the subconscious mind. Most people aren't even conscious of how subliminal that is and how it's feeding them and making them behave the way they behave. It's very subtle. And that's why Shaitan prompted like that, because he's very subtle. And that's why Allah says you got to watch him, because he says already, I'm going to come to their left, I'm their right, I'm going to come in front of them, I'm going to come from behind them. That's the way he comes from behind you. By whispering, putting things and thoughts in your mind. You don't even know he's there putting it there. That's the trick. So Alhamdulillah, Prophet Muhammad destroyed all that. He destroyed that Kalu when he said, every baby is born a Muslim. He counteracted that madness. He said, no. Everyone is born Muslim by nature. When the child is born, that child come out innocent and pure, the way Allah created him. He's by nature a Muslim. It's the parents that make him otherwise. But when that baby come out that mama's womb, he's pure, he's innocent. Now, we can say the child is born a sinner if the doctor slapped the baby and the baby slapped the doctor back. We got some issues here now, Khalid. Or if the doctor slapped the baby to get that first yell to clear out the baby's lungs and the baby grabbed a scalpel and cut the doctor's throat, they got some issues here. But babies don't do that. They make them sound like they Chucky or something. Babies don't come out the womb like Chucky, Khalid.
Yeah.
They come out pure. This world messed them up, but they come out innocent the way Allah created them. And if you keep them in an environment that's pure, they will be pure. They're just affected by the environment. They can come into an environment that's sinful, but the baby's not sinful. He can come and be in an environment, and it will make him that way, but he's not born that way. The baby's born pure. Because what chances we have we came out wrong? What's the sense in there being no hope for us? If we by nature wrongdoers. No. So that's what I mean. We got to change the language, because Shaitan, he has corrupted the language of Allah and got these people going mad.
Yeah. You're right. That's why we got to burn and think through these situations, you know?
Yes,
and,
sir.
And that's what you have pushed for us to be independent thinkers and for us to be responsible, too. Now, you know, you see something, you suffer with everything that you see, you know?
That's right. So true, Khalid.
But, you know, again, you're talking about how we can, I think we got enough material, plenty, man, for people to review it again. They didn't know about it, they can read it. You know, you got the Quran, number one. You got some hadiths, what hadiths been saying to the Prophet. You got plenty of those. But you got the, Allah bless this person, as we call Imam Dodi Muhammad, to be a great body of knowledge for us African Americans, for the whole world too. Not just us, but for the whole world, you know?
That's
and,
right.
Inshallah, we hope that we can follow the path that Allah has given us, you know, to follow and for Him to guide us, to protect us, and so we can save ourselves and save our family, as you said earlier. So, you know, while across the rest of America and how many masses we have, you know, we got a great big work to do and shape up the masses, make them just like almost like Atlanta, you know. But keep going, so we have people who are very, very thoughtful. I remember, I don't think you were with us on the radio program, but we had we devoted the month of November for education, and we had as our guests some of the teachers at the Atlanta High School. I remember just like it was yesterday. It was such a thrilling time to be in touch with these dedicated sisters. I mean, devoted and dedicated to push these children to create that great environment for them to learn and excel. And, you know, they would tell us, we don't make that much money, but we love our work, you know. And how much they enjoyed it. And there's a brother who graduated a few years ago. He goes to Howard University. And he married very young with another sister from the same class. And she was about to do. And his brother, he created a Facebook group called NASM, the New Africa Students of Imam Muhammad. I'm sure you're a member there. And they have their first convention in Washington, D.C. coming up. I don't have a date in front of me right now. But the ones who take over, the ones who be responsible, that's us. They're already here, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Happy. But I hope they get out of that the rubber chicken circuit, you know.
That's right.
I don't know, but then and get caught up in that, you know what I mean? What we need to do before we need to have some things complete before we even go and just share with everybody, you know? It's a better way to do things. To have a Juma, have a banquet on Saturday and you know, then have get together for the convention speech or public speech on Sunday. That's the old way.
That's right.
We had to take our grown, but we had to meet physically. We could meet online, you know, and have you could get things done.
Exactly. Really,
you could tackle problems and give everybody a portion of the work, you know, those who are going to accept it. You know, you got to think, you know, well, I would say you have to work harder to work smarter.
That's it.
That's
it's a fact. Exactly. And like I said, Allah gives us the material, everything the human being needs for the human being's success. Because Allah, He says, subhanahu wa ta'ala, most highly glorified and praised is Allah. He says in the Quran that He has made everything for the convenience of the human being. You know, He has put animals that carry heavy loads for us. I mean, look at the wonderful blessing that Allah gave the people of the desert when He created the camel. That camel's able to store water in his stomach, and he can go through the hot desert for days and not need a drop of water. And yet he can feed on just shrubs and stuff that people just disregard. He can eat that stuff and survive. And, I mean, you can use the camel to make a tent. You can use it to eat meat. You can eat camel meat. I mean, so many uses of the camel. And Allah created the camel. Just like he created the cow and all these other things to give us milk, to give us meat. He gave us oceans where we got fresh fish and we can get pearls. And, you know, and it's just powerful. And, I mean, Allah made the earth where it could reproduce for us. He could have made the earth, as he said in the Quran so beautifully, where it was slippery, like quicksand. But he made it so that the earth will produce for us. So we put a seed into the earth, and what do we get out of it? We get produce that we can eat and our livestock. I mean, that's why Allah said, then which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? Allah gave us so much. That's why Imam Muhammad said, you know, it always bothered him, Imam Muhammad said, when people would say, God loves you. He said, you daggone fool. What do you think? Of course God loves you. Why do you think he put all this? The dog should be asking, does God love me? Maybe the rat should ask that. What the heck is a human being asking for talking about God loves me? That's obvious. Look at what he gave you. He gave you the brain. He gave you the ability to create. He gave you the guidance. He gave you everything to make your life pleasant for you so that you can have good in this life and have good in the next. So Allah, he has done so much for the human being, but Allah says oftentimes the human being becomes ungrateful for what Allah has done for us, you know. But, you know, the beauty is he gave us that free will, and if we don't submit it to him and give that will back to the one that gave it to us, that will become corrupted. And what we True think enough. Is good becomes bad. What we think is happiness becomes sadness. We interpret everything all crazy until we give ourselves to Allah and let him define what's good and what's bad for us, what's healthy, what's unhealthy. Because Allah is the best knower, because he's the one who designed this. So I trust the designer of the design. I trust the creator of the creation. I don't trust man on that level. Now, man can give me some advice when it comes to, like, if I want to go to school and get a career, that's one thing. But for my human sciences, for my human life, I depend on Allah for that. And those he divinely raised up to teach, and that's the prophets. And after them is the mujaddids, like Imam W.B. Muhammad. Those are the ones that guide my life in terms of my human life. My physical life, that's what Moses told the people. He said, they asked Moses, they said, oh, Moses, give us that of which the earth produces. It's lentils, garlics, onions, cucumbers. And Moses said to him, you want that, go to any town. But if you want this higher wisdom, you got to come to me for this. And that's how it was our leader, our great leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad. You can't go nowhere to get the language that he was giving up but through this community and Imam W.D. Muhammad. Now, if you want garlics, cucumbers, onions, lentils, you can go anywhere to learn the ABCs about Al-Islam and how many prayers to make a day. But if you want that deep wisdom, you got to come through this community and Imam W.D. Muhammad.
That's how I feel.
I'm not saying what it is. Don't brag. I'm not being boastful. It's a fact. This is Allah's compensation for a people who were destroyed. And it's the only way Allah could have compensated us for that hell our ancestors went through. He had to do this. So he had to get us through the Nation of Islam. That was a stage to get us where we had to go. But it wasn't the final stage. It was just a starting point. You know, like it's starting out like a caterpillar that's in a cocoon. You know, that's not a final stage of the caterpillar. I mean, you know, he's a little thing in the cocoon. When he come out of that cocoon, then he becomes a beautiful caterpillar. But he starts out in the cocoon, in a real inferior state. And that's how we were. The Nation of Islam was like our cocoon. And in that cocoon, we developed to become a beautiful butterfly.
That's right.
Only Allah could have done that. It's a blessing. This is a thing. It's powerful, Khalid. It's powerful what's happening in America through us. It's powerful. A lot of us take it for granted, but I'm telling you, it's powerful.
Asaf, keep that thought in mind. I'm just going to play a little tape with you, man, and talk about some of our negative habits in a funny way, but in a very, very gracious way. He talks about our
misdeeds.
And I'll be right back, okay? We'll be right back. I forgot where I picked it up at, and I forgot the name of the original name of it. But man, he's going to talk in a few seconds, and I'm going to call hopefully see what happens to him. Hopefully it comes back.
A sound system. Most likely you'll find more than one telephone. Most likely. And most likely you'll find so much food that they're wasting it. There'll be more trips by the sanitation department to their alley and to their backyards than to those of the better rating people, economically speaking, throughout the city and the state. I guarantee you that. The sanitation department has to work harder to collect their garbage than they have to work to collect garbage from the middle class European American and the other ethnic groups. We create so much waste in our house that people think we are moving every day. Bags and boxes. You get the picture? Okay. So where is our masses ready to join us on the front to fight this war? To do battle with the evils of society? Where are they? They're non-existent. Because the spirit of carefree irresponsibility is leading them. That spirit is leading them and giving them so much of the material things and the material comforts that they are an army that can be trusted to continue on with the leader they have. Yes, they are an army that can be trusted to stay with the leader they have because their bellies are full. They go to sleep with the belly filled. If they can't rest well, if their conscience bothers them, they got enough drugs to make it possible for them to sleep. And not only sleep, but dream. This is the condition. We need faith. We need faith, not in the majority. The majority are not situated for faith. And even if we address them and pleaded to them, it'll take us too long. The cost to get them to react is too much. It's not practical. We need a minority to answer the call to come and respect those things that made possible the good progress behind us. That made possible the good progress behind America, the good progress behind the world. There is something that accounts for people, nations, individuals, and societies being able to get up in bad circumstances and beat their way through it and establish a good establishment to get rid of the bad things in their life. It takes something to do that. And that something is what we need to come back to. And I'm saying it's the essentials of a human life. The essentials of a human life. The essentials of a human life. Virtuous life. Rational life. Ambitious life. Enthusiastic spirit. Industrial spirit. All of that has to come back, but it can't come back unless you have a basis, a faith there in the people. So we need to be appealing to that small minority to come back to true faith. And understand that faith is a great mesh, a great network. My faith in God is not isolated from my faith in my wife. God wants me to have faith in him because he wants me to have a faithful relationship with my wife. He doesn't need me to have faith in him to support him. Allah says he needs nothing from us for himself. Whatever he wants for us is for us. That's what he says. I'm quoting the Holy Book. He needs nothing from any of his creation for himself. That's what Allah says. But he needs it in us for our own selves. So faith in Allah is a power for us. It's a good situation for us. Now, if you go on a job and you're working for an establishment, a business establishment, or you go on to an education institution, You're going to be employed there, working there. Are you just join a project that's temporary, a temporary project, just to do a job, like folding these chairs up and putting them back where they came from? You have to have some trust in that initiated it. The person that's responsible for it. Somebody going to say, we have to get all these chairs and put them back where they belong. That was the condition of our contract. Now, if you don't have any respect for that person, then most likely we're not going to get the job done. If we do, we're going to have a lot of problems. But if you hear what that person says and respect that person, respect what they say, you trust them that yes, he can be trusted in that responsibility or in that role that he has there. He can be trusted. So everything works well. If you are working in a business and you lose respect for the corporate bosses, that business will go down until something happens to bring up trust in the subordinates again for those that are over there. Yes. So it is with life. Allah created all of this. You can call Allah by any name you want that's proper or appropriate. Allah did all of this. Whether your rational mind or conscious mind is dealing with it or not, it is being digested by your soul, by your nervous system and your soul. That reality is digested by your nervous system and your soul, whether they're speaking in your conscious mind or not. Your nature, your soul, and your nervous system is aware that something is out of place, something is not connected, something is being overlooked, something is missing, and that something that's disturbing your spirit and your nervous system and your soul is your disrespect for number one. You have number one, number two, number three. If you move some of those out of the place, something starts to be uneasy here. Something starts to be not so comfortable here, inside, when you move something out of place. If there's one, two, three, four, five, and you take three out of place, and all each one are vital for the function of the five as a unit. Okay, something is disturbed, something is missing. You're going to feel some trouble here, even if you don't know it consciously. Now, if you take the most important one out of there, number one, you take it out, you know you're in bad shape. That's just like having a car and you say, I'm going to take the motor out and I'm going to drive. And that's the point. We need a healthy, real, sensible appreciation for our Creator. We call it Allah. We need a real healthy, sensible appreciation for Allah. And we need to trust whatever made life possible for us. Whatever made the universe and our life possible for us. We need to trust that. We say Allah. You say whatever you want to say. We need to trust that. And if we trust that, that is the condition for other support. That is the condition for other support.
Assalamu alaikum, Khalid.
I'm sorry, I'm just talking away. I had my phone on mute as I was talking. But I was just
saying. No, I knew you were still there. I'm sure you were there at all. Very beautiful excerpt of the Imam, as always, you know, speaking about how, you know, we're such wasters, you know, because anytime you get that kind of garbage in the community, well, you're taxing the sanitation department, I mean, we waste a lot. And I was very stern in raising my family. I said, look, don't ever waste food. I said, well, just put enough on your plate that you can eat what's in your plate. You know, don't waste food, because people, they do, they eat too much, they put it in the refrigerator, they forget it's in there, and the next thing you turn around, you got a laboratory specimen. Or you got some food that's growing legs. So what happens? It goes into the garbage. That's just throwing money away. You know. I think Allah, we had a common sense leader that gave us good common sense.
That's right. Well, this tape I've been playing, somebody on the program's called Thursday Night with Imam W.D. Muhammad. We're going to play the Mentally Dead, and I invite everyone to great time to hear this presentation, or at least visit our archives and pick up this particular lecture. I think I got this lecture from the Brotherhood of Galarian Speaks YouTube account. Muhammad. I think I got it from him. So it's an excellent choice, too. In terms of addressing certain things we need to stop doing and certain things we need to start doing, you know?
That's right.
Just keep it clean. Keep it, you know, use your mind. And ask God to help, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right there, that's the end of the beginning of solving any problem you may have by asking Allah for help. So, you know, He's our creator, and He can do anything, you know?
He said, for Allah, whenever He decides to do a matter, He merely says to it, kun fa yakun. Be and it is.
Right.
And, you know, when you rely on that one, then, you know, you're going to make it. You're going to make it because you got something that's keeping you focused.
Yeah.
That's and, you know, the beauty of it, it never changes. It stays the same. Allah is very consistent, you know, and that's how we have to be. As long as we are patient and persevering, all everything that we can desire of good, we shall have. But, you know, we have to go through trials. It's like the Prophet Muhammad. Allah knew he was going to be successful. And the only way I know that Allah knew Prophet Muhammad was going to be successful is that Allah told the believers to find themselves a new Qibla. He said he's going to give them a Qibla that they will find more pleasing to their heart. Because Prophet Muhammad was facing Jerusalem, facing the way the Jews prayed, because he didn't know which way to pray at the time. And Allah said, no, that's not dignified enough for you. I want you to face that ancient house. That house built by Abraham. Face that house, Muhammad. And from that point forward, after they made Hijra, they started facing the Kaaba to make their salat. But that right there was word enough to know that Allah knows that Prophet Muhammad is going to be successful because they were turning to that house when there was still 360 gods in there. They didn't clean it up yet. But Allah knew it's going to be clean one day. Don't worry about that. Face it. Now, those who were sincere and they followed the prophet, they did it without grudging, without beefing, without complaining. But there were some saying, oh, wait a minute, what he done? He just had his face in Jerusalem. Huh? That's how you got to trust the leader. And I say that to bring it home because Imam Muhammad was just like that. He did certain things people didn't understand. You got to follow the leader just like they had to follow Prophet Muhammad. He said, I'm opening the door for all people now. It's not restricted just to the African-American race. Our community is open to all races now. And you started hearing grumbling. You see where I'm going with this? Then he said, I'm going to dissemble and do away with the FOI. Take off the uniform, soldier. You're not going to war. Started hearing grumbling. But he knew where he was taking us. He was taking us to the Kaaba. He was taking us away from Chicago and taking us to the Kaaba. So all those things that stood in the way of us getting to the Kaaba had to be eliminated. See, now in hindsight, I can see all of this. Having come from the Nation of Islam and being the way we are right now, I can see all the things that he did and how he did it so scientifically, so like a keen psychiatrist. I mean, he just took this, and I mean, not to cause any brain damage. He did it so smoothly. I mean, that's why I know Allah is with the man. Because I don't know of anybody that could have made that smooth transition as he did. To stand up before the FOI and pick up the American flag. That took some nerve. That took some courage. Especially if you had a leader that took you out of America. Because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had us do an exodus just like Moses did. He took us out of America. But it wasn't a physical exodus. It was an exodus in our spirit, in our minds, and in our souls. He took us out of the culture. We couldn't go to movies. We didn't hardly watch any TV because we lived in the temple. We had temple Wednesday night, Monday night. We had Tuesday special classes. We back to the temple on Friday. Saturday, FOIMGT. Back to the temple. We lived in the temple. So Yahweh Elijah Muhammad had us do an exodus. So being that Yahweh Elijah Muhammad took us out of America, somebody had to come along to bring us back. Henceforth, Imam W.D. Muhammad, who had to bring us back into America, because we had to get out. Imam Muhammad said, there's no African-American who can get into America if you never got out of America. You got to get out of America to get into America, meaning that you got to get out of that corrupt culture. You got to get out of the drugs, the alcohol, the swine, the permissive sex, all that matters. You got to get out of that, because unfortunately, that's America's culture. Once you get out of that, you can come back into America. And that's what Elijah Muhammad did. He got us out, but Imam Muhammad took us back in. This thing is powerful, Khalid, what happened. And I'm telling you, people that really study this community, they're going to write volumes of books about this community. I just hope we're the writers of it. But there's a big story to tell about the history from 1933 when Master Farad Muhammad came to who was called Elijah Poole and gave him a message that changed a whole people. From that one message, it's powerful.
And a fascinating story, too, of how Clara brought Elijah to meet Farad. And the first day he met him, he accepted. And
stopped drinking
him
liquor.
All his money.
Exactly.
Yeah,
one dime.
One dime, 10 cents, you know?
Yeah, one dime
ten,
in his pocket.
Ten could represent that kind. It represented consciousness, you know.
Exactly.
It's such a beautiful story.
And isn't it beautiful?
You know,
and Imam Muhammad said, how does it represent your consciousness? He said, it's simple to see. He said, let's look at boxing. He said, a man get in the ring, he get knocked out, what do? They give him a count of 10. And if it all comes to his consciousness, it's all over.
Okay. You were fine, you know.
Come back another day because this ain't your day.
Right.
Let me tell you something, Khalid. Imam Muhammad left something powerful with us. I pray to Allah we never take it for granted. I pray to Allah we don't let these Sufis and these shake and bake folks come in our community and mesmerize us, you know, with their dikkabees and their sandals and all this stuff, because we have the best. I'm convinced of that. And I challenge anybody on that. Allah gave our people who was in that community known as the Nation of Islam and evolved us to where we are now, he gave us the best. And all this is compensation for people who almost cried blood, wondering why they were in the situation that they were in when they did absolutely nothing to anybody, but yet found themselves the subjects of some of the most brutal treatment ever known to any human being on the face of the earth. So even though Allah allowed it to happen, and he didn't stop it because Allah, he tells in the Quran, all good come from me. But all of the evils, that come from your hands. That come from your soul. I only enjoy what is good. So an unjustified evil was done to an innocent people. So being that evil was done to that innocent people, Allah must now compensate them for that evil. And the only way Allah will compensate you and the best way he can compensate the people is not through money. Because what good is money if they don't have any sense? That's why it kills me when all these people talk about reparations. What you going to do, get a Cadillac with big chrome rims? What are you going to do with a lot of money? What's the squanders of money? The best thing Allah could bestow upon us is knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And he did that, Khalid, through Imam Wadati Muhammad. He gave us our reparations. So we got to walk by talking about reparations, at least as a community for us. That's over with. If you don't embrace Al-Islam as taught by Imam W.D. Muhammad, then you blew your reparations, because that's your reparations right there.
There you go. All right. Well, we had hoped that Imam Muhammad Sadiq could join us. I don't think he is because he's just Imam Muhammad Sadiq, he travels everywhere, you know.
Alhamdulillah, yes,
he's a little travel, you know. So maybe next week we'll do it. And also, our brother Haleem, he's been on the road too doing business. Sure want to hear from him. And I see someone wants to join the conversation, and I'm going to bring him in right now. Hold on, I get to the controls. Right there, Erico 317. You're going to be up in a minute. Less than a minute. Hold on. Yes, welcome, Fab. How you doing?
Good. I've been on listening.
Oh, good. Okay.
I told you that's what I was going to do. I was going to listen. But I think you all handle. You don't need me. Allow Wackboy. I just bear witness to my brother. That's good. And my brothers. So go on.
We still want to push that petition and make people aware about
it. Yeah, we're going to push it. And then we'll come back next week, hopefully much stronger and less coughing, you know.
Yeah.
Put the flu bug behind us.
I heard it's almost everywhere, you know.
Oh, yeah. It's jumping all over America. I was just looking at it on the news. They just said it's everywhere, you know. So, but you all go ahead. I'm going to continue to listen. Keep up the excellent work that you're doing right now.
Right, well, we're about to go, man. we'll keep on about 10 more minutes, I'll say. And, of course, we want our listeners to be in touch with us. We want to hear from you, too. You have a connection, strong connection, and you talk with your brothers. And everything should be safe, you know.
A lot of work, bro. Okay,
I do have.
Go ahead.
Well, no, since you're here, I was reading something in our chat line. They're no longer there, but so Kim Salam, and that's a name from Facebook. I think it's a created name, not a real person, to be honest with you. And they're saying that it's a kind of loaded question, but it's okay. They want to ask you. What do you think about Albert said that all the Clare Muhammad schools are to come under the control of the mosque?
Okay, I didn't say it again, please, Khaled. I missed it.
Allegedly, Albert Muhammad said that all the Clare Muhammad schools should route around WD the second.
Well, I mean, he's entitled to that opinion, but he has to give us a reason why. I mean, maybe he can give us a good reason why. Maybe this, if he can show us, I don't know of W.B. Muhammad II having any expertise in that field. I don't even know he have any history in the field. And I certainly know his father didn't know it because his father certainly didn't call on him to do anything in education. Period. Other than go to school himself.
Uh-huh.
I respect Alfred Muhammad's concern, but he had to bring me a little more than just a name. He had to bring me more than the name. And if he can show me a logical rationale behind that, so... Whoever the brother is that wants to ask the question, I wish he'd come on so I can understand what he's saying.
Yeah, he went to the chat room.
He's in the chat room.
You know, like I said, people have an opinion. You have to pay them for having an opinion, you know?
No, yeah, but see, here's where we have to be if we're going to be successful. Hmm. Let the pie makers make the pies. Okay?
There you go.
And let, you know, just like they got this commercial on the TV, it shows it says, you wouldn't want the doctor doing your job, would you? And it shows the guy come out in a lab, in a white doctor suit with a stethoscope in his pocket, and he gets on the mound and pitches the ball and hits the man right upside the head, and then the guy runs him off the field. And they come back and say, you wouldn't want the baseball player doing the doctor's job, would you? So in other words, if he can offer something in the field of education, I think I would agree with him. But, he has to show me what is the advantage of anybody getting involved with anything unless they have some expertise or some special talent to bring to the problem. And we're not anti-Wallace Muhammad. We're anti-illegitimacy, and we're anti the kind of stuff he has put down. But there's a lot of place for him, business-wise and everything else. And if Alfred knows something about him educationally that I don't know, I'd be happy to hear him. But I know no history.
Well, you have a point that I've seen from the supporters of Wallace and the anti-petition and the short on investigation. They're short on facts and all that, but it's so emotional, rather than having a rational reason for doing what they're doing, behaving with what they have. It's a jerk. It's a emotional jerk, that they display, that I've noticed. And I think we still think we can sit down at the table to remind Muslim duties and discipline that you hear your brother out, you exchange, and you have to do it again. You agree or you disagree. No big problem,
Exactly.
You're not forced to do anything.
I'm never going to shoot down a person if they have something to bring. I just didn't know. I've been kept in the dark as his expertise in education. So if he has some expertise, I'd love to have hear what Alfred had in mind. But I'm sure Alfred. I've always known him as at least attempting to be rational, and I'm sure that he wouldn't just go out there on a whim and say that. So I would leave the door open for him to bring some justification for that, because maybe he has some insights and knowledge on education that's going to help this community. But it behooves me why his father, who has known him from a baby, never called that to the attention of anybody. And we had to wait for Alfred to bring that. I've never heard it. I could have just missed it. I don't think I was 100% with Imam Muhammad in terms of every time he spoke, but I think I was there at least 90%. And I've never, and I tried to get the 10% that I wasn't there, I tried to get the tapes or at least some feedback, and I have never heard him ever use the word education and Wallace too in the same voice, in the same breath. So, if you get those brothers' attention again, tell them bring me the justification, and maybe we should all get behind him and support him if he's got it.
I'm not sure you're gonna listen to the archive or listening right now to what you're saying. They hear it. So, you got to do a bit more than that, because I was again, it's an emotional reaction to what's happening. And they support Wallace. They just want, please, Wallace,
It's an emotional reaction, but it's also a manifestation of defects.
The Imam said,
this is judgment day. He said, judgment is now. Okay? Right. Now, how will we be judged? We're going to be judged based on our choices we make. Now, in the face of concrete facts, if a man who claims he believes in God and the Quran and wants to establish Islam in the world, and he can't get past this little test and be rational about it, where the Holy Quran tells us that we don't support anybody in Rome, even if it be our mother, our father, the closest of kin, anybody. Now, if we can't get past that little test, how are we going to get past the big test down the road where the big Satan is down there waiting and has got something, has got something waiting for us, where if we don't use decent, common, rational sense, we're going to end up getting wiped out in that process. So I'm saying, so it's a test. It's an emotional response, but they don't realize everything that we do basically is testing our faith, testing our belief, testing our knowledge. And it's not me testing them. I'm not presenting these tests. It's a test that comes by virtue of circumstances that arise, and we take a position on them, either in accord with what is right, or we jump out there and support, despite the facts of the truth, what is wrong. Then that tells us who we have, who these people are. Everybody can come in and wave the flag. I'm with Imam Muhammad. I'm with the Imam. I love Imam Muhammad. And they can stay in the chat room from the time it opens in the morning to the time it closes the next morning. But that doesn't prove a thing. What proves it is, do you have the will and the spirit to take a stand for what is right, even if that idea comes against you and those you love and those you hold precious in your life? And that's where the test comes. And it's happened to all of us.
The battle of Badr, this war where family against family sometimes, you know, brothers against brothers, and, you know, and kill, bloodshed, done, you know?
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, we're looking at, but what we want to do is reason for people to take the right stand. And what has, you know, like, I remember I wrote someone on Facebook and said, look, and I meant to say after the man passed away, that mosque has never taken the right step, you know, or they're in the wrong, you know, with the treatment of Jesus, number one. And and somebody wrote me back instantly, said, mosque didn't do nothing wrong.
He said, what now? Who didn't do
any
wrong?
I was saying how the mosque was wrong by the treatment of Khadija. Day one.
That's a given. I don't think anybody would disagree with that.
They didn't do them wrong, you know. I don't want to talk to that no more. I ain't nothing to talk about.
You don't waste time on ignorance.
Yeah.
There's always a possibility of dialogue when people are in search of the truth. Everyone doesn't arrive at the truth at the same time. But as long as a person's sincere desire is to reach a truthful and honest conclusion, well, then that's a reason to carry on a conversation. But then there's some people who just... they just want to argue. They don't want to do it. They wake up in the morning looking for where, you know, if ESPN is not on, they got to find a fight somewhere, you know.
And so they. You get started. That you should. I think the correct response should be saying, "Well, brother, what do you mean? Why would you say that? You know, it's just opposed 100% that line." That's what I'm saying. You should ask. We can communicate with each other without having tiger teeth and calling each other, you know, killing each other, you know, with words, you know. Settle down, calm down, chill out, and talk. You know, find the answers. Open your mind to the possibilities that the guy who's talking to you doesn't have to be an enemy necessarily. He could be your friend. You know, just that what he's talking about, you don't like to hear. He's telling you the truth. You know? Being real.
I wish you would email me that or text me or email me, really. Okay. Alfred's site where I can read that. You know, I mean, I'd like to respond to him. You know, in a somewhat in the same manner I did. Not that he is not capable of listening to this. You know, but I mean, mm-hmm. respectfully. So, not argumentatively. So, I'm not here to challenge. I respect his effort. His effort is, I have to give him every consideration I get anybody else. You know, I'd love to see it. So if you can text me that, or excuse me, email it to me, not text me. I don't do good on text. But if you email me, I'd appreciate it.
I'll text you. Okay, I'll show you what you said. It's right on Facebook. You see it.
Okay, good enough. Just you know, direct me to the site. You know, I'm like Samson, you know, at the time that the little boys had to take him by his hand and lead him to the pillars, you know. But I'm not going to try and pull the temple down. I just want to use the first part of the example.
Right, right. Do I tell you anything to say?
Well, all I got to do is very simply say the goal to all success is just being patient and persevering, holding firm to Al-Quran, the Sunnah of the Prophet, and the commentaries of Imam W.D. Muhammad.
Well said. Perfectly
said. Right.
You can't argue with that.
To that.
Perfect.
Well, thank you for joining us, Imam.
Well, I thank you for honoring me, and may Allah bless you. You are doing a wonderful job, and I'm here in your support.
May Allah bless you, believer.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Al-Quran.
Anytime, my brother. Alhamdulillah. May Allah bless us.
Thank you.
And don't forget, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock right here on Station 9WDM, we'll play the lecture, The Walking Dead. Not the Walking Dead? The Mentally Dead. The Mentally Dead. And don't forget to pick up that book or see that. Join us on the Yahoo group or on the social network. Or my Facebook page, too, Khalid Abdullah Islam. Where is the TV show, a half-hour show, starring Dr. Christopher Bell, who wrote a book that was called The Misguided, The Black Clergy's Misguided Worship, Misguided Leadership. It's a wonderful program. I couldn't believe it to you. I said, this is real TV. Why? Brother named Kareem Ali, a Rally Television Network, he posted that on the Yahoo Forum, and I thank him so very much. And I thank you for joining us tonight. And God willing, we'll see you next Wednesday on a Conversation with a Purpose. Take care.
And assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.